From Maine Public Radio and mainepublic.org, I'm Ari Snyder with the news on This Day in Maine, Thursday, August 21st, 2025. Portland Mayor Mark Dion says the city has not entered into a contract with ICE, despite the Trump administration adding immigration enforcement provisions to $18 million in airport improvement grants. Speaking at a press conference at City Hall today, Dion said council members approved the grants in January, but says he did not learn about the new immigration enforcement requirements until this week. That, he says, prompted the council to convene a meeting Wednesday night on short notice to get advice from their legal counsel. The meeting sparked public criticism and drew protesters to City Hall on Thursday. Maine is one of 20 states suing the Trump administration over the ICE provisions, and Dion says Portland is shielded from the immigration enforcement requirements by a preliminary injunction issued by a federal judge in June.
Furthermore, the court declared that any entity of state local government or state government accepting those funds would not be consenting expressly or implicitly their willingness to carry out the standards expressed by the Department of Homeland Security.
Based on that assessment, Dion says the council agreed to move forward with accepting the grants, which are earmarked for infrastructure improvements such as replacing jet bridges, purchasing new snow removal equipment, and adding bathrooms. Dion says the city is prepared to take legal action if the federal government tries to claw back that funding.
And it's unfortunate. We find ourselves in an environment where the relationship between the federal government and local and state governments will have to be played out in courts. But that's the promise of our Constitution.
Portland resident Joey Brunel was among those who protested at City Hall Thursday against the city's decision to accept the grant. After attending the mayor's press conference, he's calling for more transparency around federal grants.
We're going to have a big public discussion around what protections exist and how we're going to fight what is coming, because this is just the beginning.
Earlier this month, Lincoln County decided not to apply for a federal emergency management grant after the Trump administration added similar immigration requirements. More than a million Mainers now live in abnormally dry conditions as a sudden drought expands in the state, and despite cooler temperatures, dry weather and wildfire danger will remain elevated for the near future. Peter McGuire has more.
Severe drought grew into parts of Midcoast Maine this week, and almost 80% of the state is in some drought condition. Terry Teller with the Maine Forest Service says dry, brittle vegetation has increased wildfire danger in the southern two-thirds of the state.
We always have some fire activity, but we're just seeing a lot more of it, and that's really due to the recently dry conditions here in Maine.
Teller says 245 fires burned 110 acres in July and August. That's more than double historic averages. Maine has received less than half its normal rainfall in the last 2 months. And the National Weather Service says the forecast remains dry for at least the next week. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Peter McGuire.
The National Weather Service has issued a high rip current risk and high surf advisory for the entire Maine coast until Saturday as Hurricane Erin makes its way up the east coast. The system will not bring rain or even cloud cover, but will generate large, powerful waves that make swimming dangerous. And because temperatures will reach the 70s and 80s, Weather Service meteorologist Derek Schroeder says people will be drawn to the beach.
People may be wandering out onto jetties to look at the surf. And what can happen is it may not look too bad, and then all of a sudden a bigger set of waves will move in and catch people off guard.
Schroeder says there could be some splashover or minor coastal flooding, particularly tomorrow night when the highest waves are predicted. Mosquitoes in Portland have tested positive for West Nile virus. The Maine Center for Disease Control says it's the first mosquito pool to test positive for the disease this year. Patty White has more.
Four wild birds in Kennebec, Sagadahoc, and York counties have also tested positive this year for West Nile. In humans, the disease can cause flu-like symptoms, and in severe cases, brain swelling and meningitis. Last year, an adult in Cumberland County tested positive for the virus. State CDC officials urge people with symptoms to see a health provider, especially if a COVID test is negative. West Nile virus is spread through mosquitoes, which can also carry eastern equine encephalitis and Jamestown Canyon virus. And despite the dry summer, Maine CDC Director Dr. Pateri Vah says mosquitoes are still active. They only need the equivalent of a bottle cap of standing water to breed. Vah is urging Mainers to dump artificial sources of standing water, such as bird baths, empty plant pots, and pet bowls. She says Mainers should use screens on doors and windows and wear repellent and long clothing outside. For Maine Public Radio News, I'm Patty White.
And now it's time for Maine's Political Pulse, our regular look at government and politics. I'm here with Chief Political Correspondent Steve Missler to talk about a little-known oyster farmer who just made a big splash in Maine politics.
We are in a moment where a clarity of purpose and an ability to appeal to Mainers across the spectrum, from Republicans to Democrats, from progressives to conservatives, it is paramount. Right now, we are in a battle for the survival of our democracy and against fascism.
That's Graham Plattner, a Democrat who recently announced his bid to topple Republican U.S. Senator Susan Collins. Steve, there's been a lot of candidate announcements over the summer, but this one is obviously hitting a little different, generating a lot of buzz on social media and from national news outlets. So who is he?
Well, Ari, I honestly knew very little about Plattner outside of the fact that I would occasionally hear about this guy from down East Maine who some political activists had previously tried and failed to recruit for the legislature. Now, he's from Sullivan, a small town in Hancock County, and a military veteran who served three tours in Iraq and a fourth in Afghanistan, and he runs an oyster farm. And now he's running a populist campaign heavy on resentment for income inequality, health care costs, and a broken political system. And I know these themes are common among Democratic candidates, but Plattner's delivery really seems to be hitting a sweet spot, and I don't think I've seen an unknown candidate grab this much interest right out of the gate, although there's still a lot to learn about him.
And it's not just interest in Maine, right? Plattner's campaign kickoff was covered in the New York Times, Politico, and other national outlets. How does that even happen for a guy who has never run for office and who's relatively unknown even here in Maine?
Well, he has some professionals helping him, Ari. His introduction video was produced by Morris Katz. He's this 26-year-old who is the political strategist and the ad man for Zohran Mamdani. And that's the breakout New York City mayoral candidate who defeated Andrew Cuomo in the Democratic primary. And instead of festooning Plattner and L.L. Bean outfits, Katz's team kept him in T-shirts and wetsuits as he swung kettlebells, split wood, and emerged from the deep with oysters, all to this soundtrack resembling a GMC truck commercial.
I'm not afraid to name an enemy, and the enemy is the oligarchy. It's the billionaires who pay for it, and the politicians who sell us out. And yeah, that means politicians like Susan Collins. I'm not fooled by this fake charade of Collins' deliberations and moderation. The difference between Susan Collins and Ted Cruz is at least Ted Cruz is honest about selling us out and not giving a damn.
So it's pretty butch, right? But apparently super successful. Plattner's campaign claims the video had 2.5 million views in just 24 hours.
All right, so Plattner is one of several Democrats lining up to challenge Senator Collins, but there's one who is not in the race yet, but reportedly favored by national Democratic power brokers, and that's Governor Janet Mills. You write in the latest Political Pulse newsletter that Plattner's candidacy could push Maine into a larger struggle over the direction of the Democratic Party nationally. What do you mean by that?
Well, first, I should stipulate that this big existential battle is unlikely to happen here unless Mills gets into the race. And I honestly don't know if she will. I mean, the governor has struck me as deeply ambivalent about running, but she's also getting a lot of pressure from national Democrats who really want her to. So how that shakes out is really unclear. But if Mills does get in the race, Plattner told me flatly that the governor is not going to force him out. In fact, a central thrust of his candidacy is channeling anger against the Democratic establishment. And there's a lot of anger out there. The party is out of power in Washington, D.C. It's facing a declining share of American voters who identify with it. And even voters who do identify as Democrats think the party is weak and ineffective. That's according to a recent national poll.
Okay, so let's play a clip of what Plattner said when you asked him about Mills.
There's an anti-establishment angst right now in the country that I think is well-founded. People think the system does not represent them, and they're not wrong at all. And I think that choosing candidates who come of the establishment, come from politics, regardless of who they are as people, regardless of even what they've pushed, is in many ways right now, I think, a real liability.
I should add, Ari, that Plattner's spokesperson posted a sharper assessment on X, the social media platform. He wrote, quote, "If national Democrats are serious about reaching the male voters they've been hemorrhaging, then they will support Graham for Senate. He is the answer. The 77-year-old governor is not the answer," end quote.
All right, so he went right for the age factor there.
And for the establishment Democrats, right? And that's what this is about. I mean, look, Mills would be a formidable challenger to Collins. And in a one-on-one matchup, this age issue might not matter given that Mills will be 78 in November and Collins will be 73. But it might matter in the context of a Democratic primary in this broader question about the direction of the party, especially when there are candidates who are much younger. Plattner's 40. Jordan Wood, who's been campaigning for months now, is 35. And it will also matter if national Democrats try to discourage Plattner and the other candidates from running, which they've done in the past just by endorsing their pick and basically steamrolling everyone else.
Do you think that could happen in this race?
It could, but I'm not sure that the Democratic primary voters are going to be okay with it, especially in this moment, and especially if it affects a candidate that they're interested in. And look, Plattner's launch has been wildly successful. He's generating a lot of buzz, but it's a little early to know if he can sustain this all the way until the Democratic primary next year. And we still have no idea what the governor is going to do. So there's a lot of questions swirling around right now, but it's still a very interesting question to sort of think about as we think about what this might mean in a broader context of the Democratic Party in its effort to, you know, get back into political power.
And that was Maine Public's chief political correspondent, Steve Missler. You can also read our Political Pulse newsletter. Find a link to subscribe at mainepublic.org/pulse. And that's today's Maine News. For more stories, visit mainepublic.org. Coming up on Maine Calling at 11 tomorrow morning, music and mental health. I'm Ari Snyder. Thanks for listening.